Razor Podcast. I'm Veronica Belmont.
I'm Tom Merritt.
And this is episode number 9. Sorry, I just hit the microphone. Sorry.
Number 9.
Right. Don't worry about it. It's episode number 9, and we are talking...
Say this backwards.
What? Number 9.
Don't you know that from the White Album, the Beatles' White Album? Revolution number 9 is that long, weird track that John Lennon and Yoko Ono made, and then keeps going number 9. And then you play it backwards, the number 9 turns into, "Turn me on, dead man."
I did not know that, no.
Now you do.
Now I do. You learn something new every day.
Your Beatles education continues.
Thank God I have you, Tom. What would I do, really? Anyhow. Well, we'll
probably have more fun than being lectured about the Beatles.
Stay on the subject matter.
Right. Swords and lasers.
Swords and lasers. Episode number 9, Elf Noir, Unshapely Things.
Yeah, some people were a little concerned that we didn't have an episode since May. But I would say, like, expect this about monthly or twice monthly right now, because we're, like we said before, we're trying to do, like, a podcast at the beginning of reading a book and then a podcast at the ending of reading a book. So kind of two episodes per book.
Yeah, and frankly, it just took us a long time to do things this time around.
Yeah.
My book was a week delayed, even though I overnighted it to start with.
Right.
I had a hell of a time with UPS or FedEx, whoever it was. FedEx, I believe. Hell of a time. And so they just would not deliver this package to me. And so I finally got it, and then I was just busy with other stuff. I know, this is a big excuse. I shouldn't even be doing this big excuse. I'm sorry.
No, it's not a big excuse. You had difficulties with getting the book. You can't read the book if you don't have the book.
Yeah, and then it just took me a while to get started. And
well, it took me a while to get into it. I mean, I definitely started it, but I was not running back to pick it up every night, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like, definitely was with Neuromancer. And I definitely was with the other books, American Gods. But this one, it took me a lot longer. Like, William Gibson, I remember I said, it took me a while to get into it, but then I got going. This one, really, it was just like, I didn't hate reading it, but I wasn't dying to pick it up.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. When I first started reading, it did feel like a very cheesy crime novel.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of had that feel to it a little bit. I had to get past that part and really get into the story a little bit more before I started feeling like I was reading a real, real fantasy novel.
Yeah, and at first I thought I would like that because I'm a real big fan of Raymond Chandler novels, and I'm like, oh, well, this will be kind of cool if he does it well. I felt like there was some stuff he did well and some stuff was just kind of bugging me. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, always talking about the weird, and the weird things are a problem. It's a hard time in the weird. Things are really weird.
They're weird and weird. I felt exactly the same way. I'm like, all right, we get the point. You're in the weird. It's kind of strange.
Oh, where are
there.
You? Are you in the weird? Because you didn't mention it 15 times.
So that was interesting. And then, you know, Connor had a little bit, he could have used a little more character development, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that Connor was definitely the most fleshed out characters, but all the characters to me, and there were definitely some people who disagreed with this on the Sword and Laser forums, but I felt like the characters were a little shallow, not entirely believable. Connor got there for me by the very end, but just barely.
I would have liked to have learned more about Murdoch.
Yeah, he seemed like he had potential. In fact, I wrote a post called First 100 Words after the first 100 words, or first 100 pages, sorry. No, first 100 words. That would have been not much
post.
To write about. After the first 100 pages. And I was like, well, I think Murdoch is starting to flesh out, and he really never did.
No, I know, because he would be like, oh, he's a ladies' man, and oh, he's a totally prim and proper cop, and his car is a freaking mess. I'm like, oh, he sounds kind of interesting. Like, what an interesting paradox this guy is. But, no, that was all we got.
Yeah. It was a bit disappointing that way, although I did like what we got to know of him. I thought Meryl actually might be one of the deeper characters because she was very unique, very distinct
fun.
Character.
She was definitely fun. I'm hoping to see more of her in the next book, which I haven't decided if I'm going to read. There isn't officially – the sequel isn't out yet, right?
I thought he had the sequel and he was working on the third.
Okay.
Is that right? Let me double check that. I if my memory is not totally going –
This is a book that I could leave at this one. I do not feel
I could too.
an undying need to continue with the series just yet.
Right. It just Unquiet Dreams is the next novel in the Connor Gray mystery series. It just came out in February.
So how did you think of it in comparison with the Dresden Files?
Well, see, now I haven't read the book on the Dresden Files. I've only seen the TV show. So I'd have to, it's kind of, you know, somewhat comparing, oh, I don't know, an apple with a kumquat. But I like the Dresden Files better. I just thought it was cooler.
I have read a lot of the Dresden Files books, and I also prefer it.
Yeah.
So far. I do like Connor Gray, but I like Harry Dresden better, I gotta say.
I liked the world. You know, our friend Josh Lawrence, composer of the Sword and Laser theme music, said that he thought that Unshapely Things would make a fantastic role-playing game. Guidebook. Like, the universe he loved. Like, you know, you've got the Fae.
The and universe you've got of the, Boston.
The Guild. And, you know, you could play the role-playing game in Boston and play a character in the weird and meet all these different people and the druids and everything. He's like, it was an excellent universe, but he just didn't like the story. He didn't think the story carried weight. And I actually disagreed with him on that. I thought the story did carry weight. It was definitely, you know, and believe me, I'm not trying to say I could do better Mark Del Franco, because I don't think I could, but it was definitely a first novel kind of writing.
Yes, if Mark Del Franco ever listens to this podcast, which I highly doubt will ever happen, I liked the book. I did have fun reading it. I thought the characters could use some more development, and maybe that will happen in the sequel. You know, we haven't gotten there yet. You know, I may still give it a chance, because I like to see things through. But, you know, it was a fun book. The characters were enjoyable, if a little shallow, but I liked where he was going with the idea of it.
Were you pulled along by the mystery?
A little bit, although I felt as though the mystery kind of hit a dead end for me.
Yeah, you were, like, right up to the final battle, kind of on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, and it switched too quickly. You know, a lot of mysteries like that, I mean, that can happen, where you think you know what's going on, then they throw you a screwball. Like,
but yeah, they have to have a twist, through. Right?
There's always the twist. But this twist just wasn't like an aha. It wasn't like an, oh my god, I can't believe I didn't think of that. It was just kind of like a, oh, okay, well, that happened. And
that's kind of what that's kind of what I wrote on the Ning forum. Is like, there was a twist, and I actually liked the twist. But it wasn't a, like, mind-blowing, like, oh my gosh, I never saw that coming. I didn't necessarily see it coming, but it was sort of like, oh, yeah, okay.
You couldn't really have seen it coming.
No.
Because they didn't introduce the characters until the last.
Exactly. And maybe that's one of the reasons it didn't blow your mind.
Right. So, overall, how would you rate this one?
I don't know. What's our scale? Do we need to come up
scale.
With a five sword, five laser scale? I'd give it no lasers.
No lasers,
because there's no lasers in it. I'd say three swords.
Out of five? Okay. Yeah, I'd give it three swords out of five.
Two and a half. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll give it three because I liked the story. Even though it wasn't the greatest mystery story, I was curious to find out what happened. It did pull me through. And I liked the world. I forgot to mention is I was disappointed in the backstory, because at first you start reading it and you feel like, oh, it's just a world where fairies exist. They just always have, and they're hanging out in Boston. No big deal. And then you find out there was this convergence event 100 years ago, and the worlds used to be separate, which is sort of interesting on its own, but it really disappointed me. Did it disappoint you?
A little bit. I mean, I just was kind of surprised that they just accepted the fairies and everyone else. It didn't really seem like the world put up much of a fight. I don't know if because they had no choice, but I would have liked to have heard how people responded to that.
Yeah, I feel like there would have been a breakdown of social order if suddenly, like, fairies and dwarves were crawling all over the place, you know, even if it's just in certain parts of the world. Like, that would totally rock your world. They talk about if an alien makes contact with civilization, what that will do to the human psyche.
Okay.
Like, if that actually ever happens.
Think of it, it's a lot like Childhood End in that way.
Yes.
You know, suddenly.
Very good.
This, I'm bringing it all together. You like that? Suddenly there's this outside force that comes to the planet. you don't have any say because they're going to be there no matter what. Like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
So.
And they didn't deal with it at Childhood's End. It seems like they dealt with it a little more believably than just like, okay, well, let's all hang out and you guys will live in a ghetto in Boston.
Exactly. So that was interesting. But yeah, I think it was a good choice still. I think it probably represented the genre pretty well.
Yeah, it did leave me a little curious. There were a couple others that were sort of noted in our poll as sort of more emblematic of the genre. Mm-hmm. And it makes me curious to want to read those and see how different they are.
Well, he is a relatively new writer to the genre from what we've heard.
So. Well, it's a new genre. I mean, fairly new anyway, as genres go.
I don't know if I would agree with that.
No. Well, it's newer, new. I guess is what I'm trying to say. Okay. It's newer than mystery. You know, in literary, it's almost like geological time. Like, anything that's less than 50 years old is new.
Good point. So we should probably head over to some comments from the Sword and Laser forums. Would you like to read a couple that we've got?
Yeah, we've got a few selections from swordandlaser.ning.com. One of our staunchest commenters, Terp Kristen, wasn't really excited about this choice when she first heard about it, but went ahead and got it anyway and said, dang, that was quite a happy surprise. I think I'm going to get the next book in the Connor Gray series. Did anybody else have any expectations going in? Were you surprised in a good way or bad?
Hmm. Well, good. Okay, she liked it. That's good.
Rick had the opposite reaction in response to her post. He says he was actually jazzed to read it at first. He was excited, but then, quote, I read through it in 3 days, and while the read was quick and easy, it just struck me as a not very well done Dresden Files clone. I was so disappointed. I'm glad you enjoyed it, but for me, I won't be looking for any more Del Franco books in the near future.
Yes. I don't think I agree with him. I think I'm still willing to give Del Franco another chance.
I think the majority of people on the forum seemed to be in Kristen's camp of like, yeah, you know, we liked it.
And then Sam says, sorry, I cut you off. I apologize.
Nope.
Sam, with an exclamation point, says, as far as this one went, I enjoyed it quite a bit. Fun characters and a story that hooked me. I was particularly fond of Meryl. Actually, without saying too much, I found his female characterizations to be almost unanimously stronger than his male cast, aside from Joe, perhaps. Also, I was really satisfied with the ending, but there was still enough left unexplored and unanswered that I want to know what happens to Mr. Gray next. Yeah, I want to know what happens to him, too. I want to know if he gets his powers back.
You know, he can't get his powers back. You don't have – that's his whole shtick. That was the one thing when he got his powers back during the end where I was like, this isn't going to last because otherwise he's not Connor Gray anymore and there's no more series to write about. I mean, that's your central character flaw. So I kind of knew they were going to go away.
Oh, I was kind of hoping they were back.
What did you think about what Sam said about the female characters?
I kind of agree.
Yeah?
I mean, yeah, there were very, very strong female characters in that book. Very, very overpowering. I mean, he was subordinate to a lot of the females in that book.
I think it was Sam who noted also in the Ning forums that he feels like Mark Del Franco must know someone like Meryl because she was just had such a distinct voice.
Yeah, probably. I think there's probably a lot of chicks in Boston just like Meryl. I have to say that. Being a chick from Boston,
that's right.
With that.
You would know.
I would know. And then Geek Dad 4WD said, I think he is setting up a whole series of books starting with this one. I did not think the characters were stiff or flat. I think Del Franco is waiting for the next book or two to really develop them. And I enjoyed the allusions to a past planet existence world concept.
Well, there you go. I just disagreed with me on everything, which is great. That's what makes it a book club. Everybody agreed, then we wouldn't have much to talk about.
Yeah. And then Jimbo kind of felt the same way. He said, the only real issue I have with the novel is that it hints at past events, the convergence and Fey conflict in World War II, that I find far more interesting than the main story. There are so many possibilities for interesting plots in the convergence. I also want to know what a Fey war would be like. Would it be just magic or would they use human weapons also? I want to know. Well, if you want to know what a Fey war would look like, go read War of the Flowers by Tad Williams.
Oh, yeah. You're a big Tad Williams fan.
Bring it back to Tad Williams always. Uh-huh. That's what I do.
How much does he pay you?
Not enough.
I think Big Jimbo's also kind of agreeing with what I was saying Josh Lawrence was saying, too, which is that world that he created is pretty fascinating. It's pretty compelling. even if you did or didn't like the story. I think everybody kind of agreed on that. Like this idea of like gritty Boston streets with, you know, strung out homeless people next to strung out homeless fairies.
Yeah.
Is just kind of, there's something about that. It's pretty weird.
Weird, you say?
In the weird.
Oh, God, it's never going to go away. Anyhow, so next book, I guess it's time that we have to start thinking about what our next book is going to be.
Yeah, we got to get a pull up, or do we?
Or do we?
I mean, we've run through several genres. We definitely tried something new with fantasy and the elf punk. But I was thinking maybe, I don't know, do you think we could get away with being a little dictatorial?
I think we could do that. I think we could do that. And plus, probably all our readers are gone because we haven't done a podcast in so long.
Great. So it's just you and me anyway.
So I think we might as well just pick one because we're alone in this room, Tom.
That's right.
There's nobody else but us chickens here.
Well, so it's host's pick then, is it? I think you should go first.
Us reading chickens. You want me to pick?
Yes, I think you should pick. Now, here's the ground rules that I'm just making up on the spur of the moment. You can either just be like a total monarch and dictate the book that we're all going to read, or you could be a benevolent dictator and put out like a choice of some of your choices, and we'll do a poll as normal. What do you think?
A choice of choices. I think I'm going to pick... I'm going to pick four completely different books.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
How about that? And then we'll see what people want to read next.
I like this. Then going forward, I can't believe I just said that.
Sorry. It's okay.
But I really meant it. Like going forward in time to September is what I was thinking. Neal Stephenson's got a new book coming out.
Oh, excellent. So we should revisit him.
Yeah, I think we might want to look towards like down in September. Feel it out, folks. You know, let us know on the Ning forums or in email what you think. Like, that's one of the first big, like, gigantic sci-fi fantasy names coming out with a book soon. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should go with our geek writers anyway. Maybe we should commit to that. What do you guys think?
I think that sounds like a good plan.
All right.
I think that sounds good. All right. Well, we'll put up a post soon and. Hopefully this week. Maybe you'll just have to write the post because I'm so busy this week. I'm lucky I have enough time to eat.
Yeah, I'll take care of the Neal Stephenson stuff. And I can't put up the poll though.
Oh, right. You don't know how to put up a poll.
I'm not experienced enough for that. I haven't reached that level.
No, you are too newbie. Too newbie to make the poll. No, I'm just kidding. All right, fine. I'll find some time. I'll do it.
I need to level up.
You need to level up in polling, which is exactly what you've really been spending all your time on, Warcraft, Tom. Tom has become a Warcraft fanatic, folks. It's true.
I know, but I just get made fun of by you because I'm like 3 years late to the party.
You're a little late to the party. That is true. But hey,
the party's not over.
The party is not over. The party is only growing.
Fashionably late.
You're almost level 20 now. That's good.
That's right. Very close. Yeah, I started playing. I came over to the sword side a little bit. Not that we're strictly on like you're the sword and I'm on the laser side, but you know, it's you're more in the fantasy area and I'm more in the sci-fi area. I have been enjoying it. I have to say, enjoy it even more than I thought. I knew I would like it. In fact, I was a little worried I'd like it too much. But it hasn't taken. I find it compelling. It's very well designed to lead you through.
Whoa, dude, you just sounded so crazy. Like it went hissy for a second, and then your voice caught up with yourself, and then you talked over your own self. I hope that made it to the recording, because it sounded really awesome in my headphones.
Warcraft doesn't make you crazy.
I think we might start coming into some packet issues with Skype shortly, so we better start wrapping up shop.
Okay, swordandlaser.com, of course, is the blog where Queen Veronica's dictatorial picks for the poll will appear.
That's what she said.
In space. And then swordandlaser.ning.com is the discussion link off of swordandlaser.com, where I'll put up sort of the feeler thread about like, hey, Neal Stephenson, should we commit to that early? Coming in September, what do you want to do? Leo's already got the book, of course, Leo Laporte.
Of course he does. And if you want to email us at theswordandlaser@gmail.com.
Well, now you've got to go because the police are coming.
Yeah, my apartment's burning down as we speak, so I should probably get the cats and run.
All right.
We'll see you guys next time.
Bye, folks.